Today on Real Radio.
The book, the Bible, is about Jesus Christ, your Savior, your God, your Redeemer. It's absolutely awesome. And he says, listen, and he's challenging you, by the way, this morning. If you're a skeptic, he's taking you on, head on. And he's saying, it's all written about me. Search history and find out. Search and see.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 22. In the verses we're looking at, the Messiah gives his followers seemingly mundane instructions for when they go out to evangelize. The passage provides a valuable lesson in being dependent and trusting in our Maker. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a mini-series called The Christian's Strength in Difficult Days.
The Christian's hour is arriving. Our moment is coming to proclaim and to stand and to hand out the greatest news the world will ever know. And gold can't buy it, money can't buy it, oil can't buy it. It's free. It costs God everything, but it's free. And God is faithful. Another thing is this. He's not only promised to provide for us, but he's called us. Now listen, he's called us to do the same. I want you to mark that down. He has proven himself to be faithful, but now he has called us to do the same. As Christians, we should be the most faithful people in the world. How many of you are employers? Raise your hand. You're employers. Raise your hand. You should be the most faithful employer that your employees have ever known. How many of you are employees? Raise your hands. We should be the most faithful employees that the company or companies we work for have ever known. How many of you are husbands? Raise your hands. How many of you are wives? Raise your hands. How many of you are single? Raise your hand, just so you can raise your hand. There you go. Okay. The most faithful. The most faithful. Against what we feel, against what our emotions dictate, against who says what, the most faithful. You see, Jack, that's a tall order. Jesus turns to the disciples in a moment, and he's going to be announcing to them, as I have been faithful, now you be faithful. Look at verse 36. Then he said to them, it's the order of a commander. Don't you love it? But now, circle that word. That's huge. We have two words in English. But now. There's a change in the air. Something's going to be different, boys. He who has a money bag, grab it. Take it. He who's got a backpack with a sleeping bag in it, a knapsack, grab it. And he who has no sword, sell his shirt and buy one. You're going to need it. What is Jesus announcing? He's been saying this, I've been feeding you guys. I've been sailing with you guys. I've been walking with you guys. I've been ministering with you guys. And I'm getting ready to leave. I'm going back home. You went to the ministry with me and you got hungry and I fed you. You got in a boat, you went out on the sea in the middle of the night, got stuck in a big storm, and I came walking on the water, and I rescued you. Thousands of people were following us. They were hearing the gospel. They wound up following us so far that they got far from home. And you came and you told me, Jesus said, you told me that they were weary and hungry and without their homes. And don't you love that story, by the way, when Jesus send them away. Can you imagine? Jesus, your church is getting too big. Will you send some people away? They're hungry. And Jesus turns to the disciples. Don't you? I would have loved to have seen their face. Can you imagine this? Can you guys hear me? Jesus says, why don't you guys, the 12 of you, you feed them. There's only about, I don't know, maybe 10,000 people here in total because the Bible records 5,000 men. What if they had their wives and kids with them? Could have been 10, could have been 12,000 people. Jesus says, yeah, they are pretty pooped out, aren't they? And it is late in the day. The Sundial's saying it's going to get dark soon. Why don't you feed him? Oh my goodness. You know what was happening? You can see him taking the training wheels right off the ministry cart. You want us to feed them? We ain't got nothing. There's one little boy over here who's got a Happy Meal. A couple of fish and some bread. And Jesus showed them something that's impossible. You guys, Jesus is still doing impossible stuff. But as long as you and I are sticking our chest out and trying to pull it off on our own, don't get me wrong, we're to be responsible. But when we're not leaning on him, we're not going to see any bread or any fish be produced like that. But when we do lean on him, he's able, the Bible says, to open up the windows of heaven. Amen. And bless. He's called us to do the same. And watch this. Number one, money bag. What is he saying about that? I love this. By the way, if I had it my way, if I was a dictator of some seminary, I would go over this until the students were sick of hearing it. Number one, money bag. Jesus is saying, up until now, I've provided everything for you. And here's the deal. I'm going home. I'm going to get betrayed. That's in the process of the moment. I'm going to get beaten. My beard's going to get plucked out of my face, according to Isaiah chapter 50. According to Isaiah chapter 52 and 53, we'll study that next week in detail. Don't miss it. The gospel in the Old Testament. My back's going to be laid wide open. I'm going to be so beaten before I even get to the cross that I will be unrecognizable as a human being. I'll be a slab of ground meat that even Mel Gibson in the movie The Passion could not come close to portraying. And people, Isaiah said, when they God speaking of the moment, they will turn their faces away from me. A monster in appearance. And when I die, I will be in the ground, and on the third day, I'll be risen from the dead, and I'm going home. And I'm going to have you carry on this message that you're about to learn in the next few hours of this weekend. And he's taking the training wheels off the cart. It's awesome. And he says, you know what? Be responsible with money. Don't you think there's a big reason why churches are a mockery and ministries are a mockery when it comes to money? Satan would love to take every ministry and crash it right into the wall in this area of money. A, it's either overspent, and 50% of churches in America today are on the brink of bankruptcy. That's an insult. It makes God look bad, don't you think? To the world. Men are out of control and they spend more than what they have in ministry. Jesus says, be responsible regarding money, boys, because I'm not going to be around here to babysit you guys anymore. It's time for you to put your ministry pants on, the big ones, and you wear them. Money bag, be responsible. It's God's money. Here at Calvary Chapel, we call God's money tools. Just to keep our hearts right. How many tools would it cost to get this microphone? How many tools are that? And then a knapsack. Jesus is saying, I sent you out before and you went into homes and people opened up the door and you got to sleep there in the morning. They gave you some tea and some cheese or whatever they gave you, falafel and shawarma, and they sent you out. Now you need to take a sleeping bag with you. Because it's going to get hostile out there, which leads to the next thing, which people freak out about this. Cracks me up. Jesus says, sell your jacket and buy a sword. Some people have said that can't be in the Bible. Well, it is in the Bible. Jesus is saying you're going into a nutcase world and you need to defend yourself. You need to protect yourself. There's going to be people just out there to jump you. There's going to be people out there that are going to try to break into your home in the middle of the night to murder your children and to rape your wife. You need to defend yourself. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:8, listen to this. 1 Timothy 5:8, if you don't want to write that down, then write it on somebody's hand or something. Just write it down somewhere. This is a verse hardly ever spoken of and greatly misunderstood. 1 Timothy 5:8, if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for his own house, he has denied the faith and has become worse than an infidel or an unbeliever. You say, well, Pastor, these are hard times. Listen, I understand that. That's why I'm quoting this verse. Man, I'm unemployed. I'm doing the best I can. Listen, many people, unemployment in California is over 10%. Huge. Listen. Go. Get out that application everywhere. And then when you're done handing them out, then get to In-N-Out Burger and flip, not pancakes, but whatever they make there. Burgers. Do something. Provide. Don't sit there and just wait. Well, if God wants me to work, the phone will ring. You can't do that. The Bible says if a man does not work, neither shall he eat. This is serious talk, you guys, and you need to hear it. No, I'm never coming back to this church again. Well, listen, Dr. Laura just said this the other day on the radio. If a man does not provide for his own home, he's worse than an unbeliever. We become so accustomed to the government taking care of us that we have forgotten God. God doesn't like that. That's why the government will soon not be able to take care of you. So we'll all look at God again. This is not going to win the most popular message in a series. I understand that. But my friend, listen. The Bible is eternal and it's global. And when a man in Africa reads that verse in 1 Timothy 5:8, that if a man does not provide for his home, he's worse than an unbeliever, that means in the middle of the night, if a lion is coming to his home, that man kills that lion. If that mother, and this is another reason why God hates divorce, a man is to give his life to provide for his home if necessary. But when there's no man in the house because he's like the mama bear now, she's got the baby cubs, she's taking care of all the little cubs at home. You ever try to mess with little cubs with a mama bear around? Let me lovingly tell you this. My wife's going to say, I can't believe you said that. She's in here right now somewhere. Now she's scared to death. When a woman comes to this church, and it's on a weekly basis, sad to say, and she says, well, I just found out that my husband's sleeping with his secretary, and he's leaving me for her. She's half his age. And I knew something was coming. He started wearing a gold chain around his neck and bought a red sports car, and I felt something was going on. And he's completely left me, completely abandoned me. I got this two little ones to raise up. And listen, the women's ministry, they do an amazing job. Amazing job. And then eventually, sometimes, someone of that need will get to me somehow. Maybe it's in the courtyard, and they'll say, Pastor Jack, my husband left me. I got two kids. And I don't know what to do. And I said, come here, I'll tell you what to do. I want you to call this attorney. Oh, I'm serious. I want you to call this attorney. And I want you to clean his clock. Mama Bear, now she has to provide for the family. God says you've denied the faith. God's faithful. Has he ever left us? Has he ever walked out on us?
No.
He will never. We must not provide always. The Lord is faithful.
Amen.
Matthew 24:45, Jesus says, who then is a faithful steward, faithful servant of mine, whom when his master made him ruler over his household, to give him food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom when his master returns finds him so doing. Faithful. Listen to this. Psalm 50. This is great. Psalm 50, verse 10. God says this. Listen. God says, every animal of the forest is mine. How cool is that? I got two little Yorkshire Terriers. God's got elk. And he's got moose. Whales and all that stuff's his. He says, the cattle on 1,000 Chino Hills are mine. I know every bird in the mountains, he says, and every creature of the field, it's mine. And if I were hungry, would I come and ask you? The world is mine and all that is in it. Isn't that amazing? God is so good. God is faithful. Amen. Hey, this is kind of off my notes real quick. But first service, well, let me back up. We've had a cat hanging around our house. I think it's a cat. It's not a kitten, and it's not a cat. I don't do cats, so listen, it's an in-between cat. And it's black, green eyes. Very affectionate, so much so that I was reading my Bible the other day, and it got into the room, which is not our cat. We're trying to get rid of this thing. And it's driving our dogs nuts, and the cat gets up on the chair, gets behind my neck, and goes to sleep behind my neck. Like I'm wearing, well, you say, aw, and I'm thinking, so now I'm sneezing, I'm allergic. So all this stuff's going on, and all I hear is, okay? And then she stands, she's a little girl, she stands, she's looking in the house. Okay? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? So Lisa said this morning, you got to announce it at the church somehow. Work it into your message somehow. Somebody can have her. Somebody can have her. And listen how good God is. I mentioned it. It has no name. I mentioned it for service. And a woman, her cat has just died. She lives alone. She wanted another cat. But the last cat she had, his name was BC. Black Cat. That's what she said. I named him Black Cat, BC, because he's black. So what does God do? First service. I say, hey, you know what? We got this cat. You want the cat? The cat's going to come to second service at the beginning of second service. You can have the cat. God answered her prayers for her little, wanted another black kitty, and she took that cat home, and now she's home with that little cat. And you say, well, you know, that's a coincidence. You say, well, that's ridiculous. Mm-mm. My God says one little sparrow that falls to the ground, he knows about. God cares. God cares. And then listen to this, verse 37, it's also this, he does what he promises. And you guys, this is where we're going to leave off next week. It's point number two. We're going to pick this up next week, but I want you to check something out. In verse 37, we'll just kind of flirt with it for a moment. He says there, get your highlighter out, it is profound. For I say to you, that's the New Testament version of thus saith the Lord of the Old Testament. I say to you, that which is written, Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi, must still be accomplished in me. You guys, listen, how radical that is. Disciples, you guys, come on. I'm not being rude right now. I'm being accurate. Joseph Smith could never have said this. Muhammad could never have said this. Buddha could never have said this. Jesus says, the Old Testament scriptures, all that's written concerning me, I want you boys to pay attention. You're going to be learning something in the next few hours. It's always been written. When you were growing up as little Jewish boys, and your father before you, and father before him, and father before him, and you just keep going. From the beginning, the scriptures have been given, and they will be fulfilled. And Jesus says, that which is written must still be accomplished in me. It's a declaration of deity. Jesus Christ is announcing the scriptures. As it says in Psalm 40 and the book of Hebrews, behold, in the volume of the book it is written of me. The book, the Bible, is about Jesus Christ, your Savior, your God, your Redeemer. It's absolutely awesome. And he says, listen, and he's challenging you, by the way, this morning. If you're a skeptic, he's taking you on, head on. And he's saying, it's all written about me. Search history and find out. Search and see. And I don't care if you have to travel land and sea in your search, do it. I can say that boldly. I feel like saying it boldly. I was in Rome this week, standing in places where not only the Roman government on placards by the National Park Service of Italy in Rome, They're not only talking about the Caesar or about this particular Augustus or about this particular person, but they're citing portions of Scripture from the New Testament and this from the Old Testament, and this is where Paul the Apostle spent his last night on earth in the annals of Roman history. And when you go, have you been to the Colosseum? There's a cross there in the Colosseum as a tribute and a testament of those who gave their lives in the arena. And I tell you, all that stuff freaked me out, and I got blown away when I came to the Arch of Titus. Do you remember in the Luke's Gospel we were just reading when Jesus says, "I tell you, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down from this temple"? Do you remember in 70 AD, Titus, Vespasian's son, came into Rome with the 5th Roman Legion and leveled Jerusalem, and the temple caught fire and they dismantled it because the gold flowed between the stones. I'm telling you Roman history right now. And they scraped off the gold, they took it back to Rome. And Vespasian, his dad, had started the building of the Colosseum, but they ran out of money. Until Titus came back from Rome. I mean, Jerusalem, entering Rome. And as he entered Rome and went through the Victor's Arch, guess what they were carrying? The gold menorah from the temple. And it's etched there at Titus's Arch in Rome. And it tells you right there in Roman history. And I love it. Man, are you a doubter today? Are you a skeptic? The Roman record says this is the image of the emblems and the articles taken from the temple in 70 AD from General Titus. And it's done there in artwork, massive. And I knew that. I knew that a long time ago because of my Bible. My Bible told me that. And my God will be faithful. Amen. He's faithful. And I want to leave you with this. We are going to be looking next week into that amazing little statement, verse 37. Look at it. He was numbered with the transgressors. What on earth does he mean? Where did that come from? What is Jesus setting in motion? What is going on? We are going to enter into the Holy of Holies of the Old Testament. It's the gospel in the Old Testament. My friends, every Christian should know how to lead a Jewish person who won't read the New Testament, you know. What do you do? Genesis to Malachi. The Jewish scriptures. How do you think the Jewish people recognized Jesus as Messiah back then?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called The Christian's Strength in Difficult Days. It's actually a mini-series taken from part of Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 22. Part of our teacher's verse-by-verse through this eyewitness account, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, being in this chapter means that we're somewhat nearing the end of this New Testament narrative, with just 2 more chapters to go. If you've just recently made Real Radio part of your daily routine, you may be interested in our featured resource. This entire series through the book of Luke on 2 MP3 CDs for a cost of $30. It's comprised of 141 complete messages by Pastor Jack. And really, to learn the importance of internalizing this first century historical narrative, go to realradioactive.org and click where it says simply, The Gospel of Luke, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877 RR Radio, 877 RR Radio. If you'd like to do things the traditional way, here's our mailing address: Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.